listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right, welcome on in. It is the Forza Podcast. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Marsh Thomas. As always, I am welcomed by my co-host and wonderful producer, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing? How you doing, Marsh?
I think I'm good. You know, I have no reason not to be good. You and I mean, we're just happy to be alive, man. We got snowed in these past 24 hours in Utah, and so we're just I don't want to say enjoying the weather, but we wish we were enjoying the Miami weather. But
for sure.
Past few days, you know, we had the Super Bowl, we had the Hall of Fame announcements. We have a lot to get into. New wide receiver coach, new offensive analyst. So to help do that, we are going to bring on our good friend Mike McCoy. He's a writer for State of the U. He does his radio show on WVUM, University of Miami radio show. So let's bring him on. All right, Jordan?
All right, bring him on now. Hey, Mike, you there?
What's up, Marsh?
What's going on, Mike?
How's it going, man? How you been?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. So now we welcome on our good friend, my good friend, Mike McCoy. You know him from his radio show at the University of Miami on WVUM every Sunday. Me and him have done that many times. He's a writer for State of the U, and we now welcome him on to the Forza Podcast. Thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. This is exciting. It's the first time I'm a guest on anybody's podcast. So,
which is so crazy to me because, I mean, you're a voice on Kane's Twitter. So that's very surprising, but we're very happy to have you on. So let's get right into it. The Canes, let's start with this. You know, you're a big Niner fan. How you doing?
Oh, man, you want to know what's funny about it is that during the game, before the game, I was confused, didn't know what to expect, was very nervous, would rather have been seeing, rather faced, you know, the Titans, Tannehill and all that stuff. But it's just frustrating because they had it. You know, the defense, a lot, everybody's getting on, you know, Shanahan for not deciding to run the ball. But the defense, you know, they let up 21 points in 5 minutes. I'm hurting as the days go by, man. I wasn't as upset the day of. It's just weird that I'm more disappointed now. And it's two Super Bowl losses in a row. The last time we won one was in 94 in Miami. It just isn't right, man. The Niners are not supposed to lose Super Bowls, so this sucks.
Oh, you poor thing. Oh my God. You know what? But, yeah, I mean, and we've talked many times, I'm a Cowboy fan, so naturally I hate the 49ers. But you know, I mean, this isn't, I mean, if you talk to my dad, who you know, I mean, he's a Niner, he hates them. But I mean, with me, like, I was thinking about it the other day. I don't really have a reason to be a hater right now. And here's the thing. I mean, you guys have a young team. You're going to be back many times. You know, great coaching staff as well. But I didn't know this. Your linebacker, Fred Warner, he's a BYU guy. Jordan, did you know that?
I did, but I mean, my homies are all BYU like fanatics. So I'm very plugged into the NFL players from BYU. So I was aware of that.
And, you know, because I interned one fall for BYU, and I actually interviewed Fred Warner on several occasions. So when he got that interception, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it was crazy. But you know what? It's good to see. Andy Reid has some Utah ties, and it's cool to see him for that. But, yeah, I mean, you guys will be back. And I don't feel too bad for you, Mike. You know, I love you. But you know what? I hate the Niners, and my teams have just been letting me down recently. So I don't really feel too bad, but and also Edgerrin James got selected to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know you watched Edge when he was at Miami. What is how does that make you feel as a Hurricanes fan?
Super proud, man, because I mean, the first thing I think about when I think about Edge getting drafted is, number one, he went ahead of Ricky Williams, and Ricky Williams was supposed to go be the first running back taken, I believe, after his Heisman Trophy campaign. He gets chosen first after Mike Ditka trades his whole draft, obviously has the better career. And what I like most about Edge getting into the Hall of Fame, and he even said it at the Hall of Fame press conference, he takes a lot of pride in that he got to do it being himself. He never changed anything about himself. You know, he was just himself the whole way. And that, I think, is the best thing. Like, he didn't change for anybody. And I think that's a shout out to him and his, you know, his personality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, he's one of the great all time running backs at the University of Miami. People obviously remember him for his 298 yard performance against UCLA. I think it was. I mean, single game rushing record from the University of Miami. One of the great, you know, single performances by a player in Hurricane history. And he's going to be the 10th Miami Hurricane in the Hall of Fame, which is unbelievable because, I mean, I always bring it up. FSU only has 4 and UF only has 6. We don't have many things to brag about nowadays as Canes fans, but we can definitely brag about that. And also, it's the third straight year a Hurricane will be inducted, which is crazy, which is awesome. And so, okay, and then let's move into new hires to the coaching staff. Wide receiver coach Rob Likens, he was the ASU offensive coordinator for the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then also Telly Lockett, he was the FSU tight ends coach. Mike, what do you know about these guys?
Well, let's start with Lockett. I obviously like him first because obviously South Florida ties, that's a big deal. And what I find funny about the hire is that FSU fans are making a huge deal about it when they picked them up, right? And of course, in, you know, typical FSU fan fashion, the roles are flipped. And so he's now a Miami guy. And it's like, oh, it's no big deal. He can't help much with recruiting because he's not an on-the-field coach, this, that, and the third, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I like the idea because, like I said, you know, like, well, like you said, like everybody knows, he knows the landscape. He's from down here. He's going to help in some capacity. Yeah. And I just think it's a big deal because it's a well-known name in the recruiting landscape. So I love the move. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And I mean, we have kids from Dayton Broward all the time that come on campus to watch practices. And I mean, they live just a few minutes away. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal getting him in contact with recruits. It's not like he can't say hi when they're on campus, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And let me just clarify, Likens will be the wide receiver coach and Lockett has been hired as an offensive analyst. Just to give kind of a background on Likens. Yeah. He was the ASU offensive coordinator and QB coach the last 2 years. He was the wide receiver coach for the Sun Devils in 2017, but the ties for Rhett Lashley and Rob Likens is Likens was the wide receiver coach and associate head coach at Cal from 2013 to 2014 under Sonny Dykes, who was the SMU head coach. So he has experience in the air raid offense, which is definitely a plus. But going back to Lockett, he's a former Miami Central High School head coach. And Mike, you are a Dade County guy. I mean, you're from the area and you know that area very well. What is it going to mean in terms of recruiting to have a hometown guy like that?
Everything. Just like it means Stephen. My favorite coach on the staff as it stands right now is Stephen Fields because he was at Northwestern and probably because we follow each other on Twitter too. But that I think is huge because of the simple fact there's familiarity and not just with the recruits, but with their parents. Their parents are pretty much the same age as the coaches or Fields and Lockett. So they probably went to school with each other or know each other from the neighborhood. So there's familiarity there and the trust. They're going to trust these guys with their children. So it's an awesome day. They know where to go for recruits. They probably know where these guys are playing football at Gwen Cherry Park, which is historical and legendary. They're going to be at the 7-on-7s. They know they're going to know these kids from when they're like 8 years old coming up. So it's a home run, no matter what FSU or UF tries to tell you, man. It's a great idea. And we're making the right strides, man. They're running out of bullets, as I like to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, we, you know, you and I have been, you know, in talks the past year, I'd say. How right. does this offseason compare to last offseason? You know, what are some of the differences? And I mean, because last year, you and I were both drinking the Kool-Aid, and we definitely.
Yeah. I was drinking it by the gallon.
Yeah. How are you feeling right now, Mike, as a Canes fan?
Honestly, there is a difference between last year and this year. Personally, the way I feel about it is last year is the first time around in terms of that much hype. You know what I mean? Because there's always hype for Canes fans in the offseason, but last year was different. the whole hashtag thing. We got some new coordinators, and we swore that we were going to see something different. We all know that how that turned out. This year is different in the sense that we know what Lashley has done. Okay, we know what Lashley has done. He's been an offensive coordinator in the SEC. He's been in the championship game, and it's an actual and real type spread here that we've seen with our own eyes how it's going to work, this, that, and the third. I like that. I also think it's different in that Miami's trimming the fat in terms of, I guess you could say, for lack of a better phrase, cancerous guys in the locker room. I hate to say it, but it is what it is. I mean, even Coach Diaz uses that phrase, so I shouldn't be ashamed in using it myself. But they're trimming the fat in terms of, you know, bad blood in the locker room or whatever it is. I was on campus the other day leaving the studio after the show, and it was TVD, Daz, Dominic Mamorelli, and Keyshawn Washington. They were all bike riding together. And, you know, Ed Reed even said these guys need to start doing things together in terms of building a culture. So hopefully that was a sign of things to come. But it's different in that sense, man, is that you see a little bit of togetherness. I see that. And personally, I'm kind of just keeping an optimistic approach about it because, yes, I'm excited, but I want to see it first. You know, I think we learned that much between last year and this year. We just wait and see type of approach. But I am a lot more confident than I was because – We got three offensive coordinators on the staff right now. I think that says a lot.
That's huge. That is huge. And that's something I failed to mention is that, I mean, right now we have three guys who have offensive coordinator experience and who, you know, who have called plays in the past. And so I think that's a huge deal. And moving along, this Ed Reed hire, man, I mean, it was huge the first few days. And then I feel like it's kind of died down because of the Super Bowl and everything like that. But how are you feeling about that, Mike?
That is not even a home run. That's like out of the park grand slam. And it didn't get the track. You're right. It didn't get the traction that it deserved, but it doesn't matter. I mean, we know what we have here. And I think a lot like the Lockett situation, he's not going to be that involved in recruiting or however much he can be away from the campus because he's not an on-field coach. But the name in and of itself, a Hall of Famer. And everybody talks about, oh, well, Miami, these kids don't know anything, you know, whatever. Last time Miami won a championship. But they know the names. And, you know, they come on campus. Ed Reed is going to flash these big, nice rings. And that is – I think that's great. I mean, what else more than you do you want as a recruit than learning literally from one of the best safeties to ever play in the NFL? Yeah. I think that's great.
I mean, there's not too many people ahead of him. Jordan, are you still feeling pretty high about the hire?
Oh yeah, I love it, man. Every day it gets smarter to me. I mean, I haven't had the chance to listen to the interview yet, but somebody was telling me about it and saying that, you know, Ed said something to the effect of like, you know, if you see our guys in the club, call me and I'm gonna come get them, you know, something like that. And we really needed that culture change. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I mean, like Ed said, there's just too much dissent. Like the partying has gotten out of control. It's almost turned into like a, you know, a free for all, every man for themselves, like who can get the most attention, who can further their own career the most.
Yeah.
And I think we're just missing that mentality. I mean, if you watch that reunion, you know, Ed Reed made a joke about who was the best Kane of all time and all of them kind of agreed that you can't rate any single one of them as the best because it was all a team effort. Like they were all driven by the guys behind them and the guys in front of them. And that without one important piece, then the whole thing would come falling down.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's just going to mean so much for these players to just come in the Heck Center every single day, go on Green Tree every single day and know that, arguably the greatest Miami Hurricane, greatest safety in NFL history is in the building. I mean, it's one thing to have a guy like Alonzo Highsmith that has that front office experience, but it's another thing to these kids know who Ed Reed is and just like that, just that mentality that he has and just the presence that he has, I think just adds another addition to this program that we've needed for a very, very long time. And so quick recruiting question for you, Mike, since tomorrow is National Signing Day, do you think there's any chance we sign Avante Williams?
I don't. No. I don't. I'm not even getting up for it. If we get him, great. If we don't, then it's not like if it's a position of dire need. I mean, how long do we have Bolden for? At least two more seasons, at least, right?
Two more seasons with him and Gervin Hall.
Okay, you see, so that in and of itself, I'm not worried about, because the big fish that I really want, and maybe he's not going to come here either, is James Williams. But that's the Williams that I want. But we'll see. But no, I'm not sweating it at all.
No, yeah, and neither am I. You know, he's definitely someone. I personally thought he was. It was during Paradise Camp last year that I thought we were gonna flip him, and we all knew that he was decommitting from Oregon, but. If he comes, that's awesome. If he doesn't, yeah, we're not going to sweat it, just because, you know, I think Bolden and Gervin are about to become the best duo in college football. Everyone knows that I'm really high on Bubba Bolden. And so
quick question for you real quick, Mike, if that's all right.
Go ahead, man.
So I just wanted to take your temperature, zoom out a little bit on the Manny Diaz tenure as a whole right now. I mean, compare it to how he felt 2 months ago. How are you feeling about Manny right now?
Listen, I am, I guess my nickname can be king of unpopular opinions, especially on Twitter. I piss a lot of people off with stuff, but I am so fine with what Manny has done and has been here doing, because I'm not a knee jerker. And year one was nasty. I get it. It was nastier than any of us imagined, but He's not sitting on his hands. He's not twiddling his thumbs. He's making moves. Now, would I have been upset if there weren't things done? Then I probably would have gotten on his case then, or likely have gotten in his case. But you got to let the man work, man. We've seen how upset people have been, and a lot of people are still upset with it because, oh, Blake is still here, and Manny should have never been here in the first place. Well, he is, okay? And he has a passion for this program, unlike any of us do, or just as much as any of us do. So, like I said, he's making the moves, he's making the hires, and I think he's proven that he's receptive to change, and I'm fine with it. And I'll go as far as saying this. This is an article that I'm starting to work on for State of the U. I'm going to go as far as saying this. If Manny wins 8 games this year, his job isn't even in jeopardy for 2021. I strongly feel that way.
8 games, really?
I'm so serious about it. Number one, this is how I see it. And I know it's not what people want to hear, but it is an improvement from last year. That's number one. Number two, how many chances did Al Golden have? And I don't want to hear, oh, he was on probation, because he didn't make changes. So that kind of cancel each other out. Yeah, he was on probation. He kind of gets a pass for that. But at the same time, he didn't make the proper changes, the necessary changes. Manny is. Okay. Yeah. How much can you blame on Manny if, say, Miami wins 8 games this year? How much can you really blame on him if he made all the changes that everybody wanted? Think about that. And I don't think anybody is.
And that's a great point. And the thing is, you know, people keep asking, you know, how many games does Manny have to win to keep his job? It all just depends on, you know, what the feeling is around the program. Because, I mean, remember when we were 6-4, but we were on a 3-game winning streak and people were so high on the program, even at the record of 6-4, that, I mean, it really just depends on what the feeling is and everything like that. Sorry, go ahead, Jordan.
So we had the We Want Bama chants coming out.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say that.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, what a wild time, man.
Yeah. Dude, 2019 season was just one of the nuttiest times. And, oh, my gosh, man. I remember chilling with you at the tailgate for the Florida game, Mike, and we were so hyped. And then the weeks go by and I see you next at the Virginia Tech game and we're two different people.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was literally night and day, and it was just like, what the hell happened? You know, you look at the schedule, and that's another thing. The schedule this year is favorable, just like last season. We just saw a couple hours ago, Mark D'Antonio gets fired. Michigan State is under some allegations. We'll see what's going on there. Hopefully that's a win, but the schedule sets up favorably, as, you know, last year's did too, but something about the ACC, man, and, you know, there's something that, you know, we can trip up here and there. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but it's just wait and see.
I know. And the thing that sucks is that we're still in February. We're so far away. But okay, so to close this off, Mike, you know, the last few weeks, Jordan and I, we did our top three rivals for the Canes, and then last week we did the top three greatest Hurricanes. This week we are doing the top five worst losses as a Canes fan, and I know you and I touched this subject a few times last offseason, but let's get your list for your top five losses as a Hurricane fan.
Oof. Okay. Well remember,
real quick, are we doing like the worst losses from a perception program standpoint, or like the most painful losses for us individually?
Individual painful losses, because I mean I think the two kind of coincide, but yeah, the most five painful for you as a Hurricane fan.
Okay, well I didn't rank them in any particular order. Okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and list the five. I can say this of the five, number one on the list, I think, is probably everyone's number one on the list, and that Ohio State ridiculous no flag, damn it, Terry Porter. I was at the AAA watching that game. The Heat were playing. I was in a suite. I think my mom had she had a job, and you know, we had awesome seats, and she was getting those suite tickets and food. It was great. So I wasn't paying any attention to the Heat game. I was obviously watching the national championship game, and I storm out of the suite because, oh my God, incomplete pass. Yes, awesome. I come back inside. Why are we playing? What the hell's going on? What? It was so confusing, man. And right there, I knew, because you go from fireworks and, you know, all of this stuff, and you got to play again? You're giving the other team, like, a second wind, and I just didn't like that feeling. That easily is number one for me. It's a pissed off slash. I'm still not over it. I don't think any UM fan should ever be over that one, but that's definitely number one. The other four, they're not ranked in any particular order, but I will say the two that made me cry. So Penn State comes down. Penn State's number two. Miami's number eight. Butch Davis era. Miami's making a push in the standings. I am in the east end zone, in the open end of the Orange Bowl. All right. It's a rainy day. Chaffee Fields is the receiver that caught the winning pass, and I'm a Niner fan, so you go from hating him to loving him because the Niners freaking drafted him. Yeah. LeVar Arrington, that whole defense comes down. Miami has the lead late in the game. James Jackson, I know that there's no replay board in the Orange Bowl. He got that goddamn first down, and they gave him a horrible spot for it. Okay, I think this is like 98, 99. I will never forget it. I saw from my seats, and I'm a mile away from the goddamn spot. It was a horrible spot. Horrible spot. They get the ball. You know, the next play, Chaffee Fields catches the winning touchdown. I think it's Mike Rumpf slipped and fell, or Ed, one of them slipped and fell in the rain. And that one hurt, man. That one made me cry. And it went along with the weather, because it was gloomy. It was gray. It hurt. It really, really hurt. The other one, this is probably the second most painful loss. 1996, Miami goes up to FSU and gets absolutely destroyed. I think we got shut out in that game, didn't we? Like 49-0?
That was in 97, yeah. 97. We lost. Okay. They hit Scott Covington into the post.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Scott Covington. Let me tell you something, man. I literally thought, I thought it was over. I said, Miami is never, ever, ever coming back. We're never coming back from this. This is over. I was crying. I was literally crying in my bedroom. I didn't come out for hours. I don't think I showered for like a day. It was bad, man. It was really, 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 really bad. That's three. The other two, I really gotta think about it. I'm gonna have to say the one that pissed me off the most, well, not the most, but recently that I can remember, is when the young boys went up to Gainesville a couple years ago, Ja'Cory and those guys, Robert Marv, what was it, year two or three of Randy Shannon? That one pissed me off. 2000, yeah, there you go. That one pissed me off because Miami was in that game, man. Miami was in that game the whole time. And then it pissed me off because Urban Meyer decided to go ahead and kick a field goal at the end of the game to cover the spread. That one really, really pissed me off. All these Northwestern boys, they were freshmen, and Sean Spence treated Tim Tebow like a rag doll in that game, lit him up, and that one really pissed me off because Miami was in it up until what, like midway through the fourth.
It was 9-3 going into the fourth, I think.
There you go, man. There you go. And, you know, you have guys fresh off of a prom just a few months ago, and they're here. They're here playing. Didn't UF win a championship that year? They did, didn't they?
Yep, they did. They
Yep. And I don't know if you guys know this, but the referees in that game were SEC refs. And it's supposed to be ACC refs. It's supposed to be the visiting team's conference referees in that game. But that was one of the stipulations in which UF would play us, that they wanted SEC refs to ref that game. So that one pissed me off. And let me think. A fifth one? That's tough, man. That's tough. That's tough. I really got to think about the fifth one. I'm going to have to say the year when We went up to Virginia Tech. It was the year that we had that gauntlet of a schedule. We played Oklahoma, Georgia Tech, FSU, and Virginia. 2009. That Virginia Tech loss hurt, man, and I'll tell you why. Who was it that dropped the open pass? It was Jimmy Graham that dropped a key pass in that game, and I think it was like a third down in the second half. And if we make that catch, we're rolling, man. That would have kind of changed the whole, you know, outlook of the season. Well, not the whole outlook, because out of that gauntlet, I think we came out, what, 4-1?
Well, I mean, because I remember we were 2-0. We had just beaten Florida State and Georgia Tech. And then we went up to Blacksburg. It was raining and everything like that. And we ended up losing. And then we beat Oklahoma the next weekend. If we beat Virginia Tech, we're 4-0. But yeah, I hear you.
Yep.
That's a good list, man. That's a painful list.
Oh, man, it hurt. But thanks for making me relive some pain there again, Marsh, as you're pretty good at doing, but it's all right.
I'm pretty good we've had some legendary conversations about that. But my thank you so much for coming on, man. Whenever you want to come on, you're more than welcome. And you know, definitely check your articles on State of the U and your radio show on WVUM. And so, yeah, thanks again, Mike.
No, thanks for having you on. Thanks for having me on. I'm sorry. And no, it was fun, man. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get to do something on one of these couple Sundays coming up. You can call in.
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
Thanks for coming on, Mike. See you, man.
All right. You guys have a good night, man. I appreciate it.
Bye. Oh, he's a good guy, man. He's a good guy.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. We need to have him on again.
Yeah, he's Mike's definitely one of those good guys. And when you meet him in person, he's like your brother. So, but yeah, talking about those five losses, I'm excited to get into that.
He brought some games up that I had forgot about a little bit, and you know, maybe was repressing a little. They didn't make it onto my list, but man, looking back, maybe they should have. There's been a lot of heartbreak in the last 15 years, man.
So much heartbreak, and as I have been told, we have another guest coming on. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. Let me grab him right now. Hello?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Zoe? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. About yourself?
We're doing good. I got Marsh here. We're live.
What's going on, Zoe?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, we're glad to have you on. We got West Coast Zoe, as people know him on Twitter. Thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me, man. Just doing some packing for Lake Tahoe snowboarding this weekend.
Ooh, that was fun. That's pretty, man. I went to Tahoe for the first time this year, so.
Yeah, this is our first time going up there, man. What's going on, though?
Hey, man, we're just late night talking some Canes, man. So we wanted to ask you a few questions. You know, we've been talking a lot about this Ed Reed hire. You know, he's the new chief of staff for the Miami Hurricanes football program, and obviously Jordan and I are very, very excited about it. And we wanted to get your, you know, your thoughts on the hire and how are you feeling.
Man, hey, I will be honest with you guys. Like, Ed Reed is one of my, top players of all time. I personally think this is a great hire. Like, great hire. I know we had some Noles hating on it because they hate on everything. But I just imagine Ed Reed, like, breaking down film with Gervin, with Bubba. Like, those guys are already hyped. You go to their Instagram stories, they're talking about it. Like, everyone's hype about it. I just listened to his little interviews on SoundCloud. He was talking about what he's coming down to Miami to do, not coming down to take over, obviously. And he leaked it to building a house, right? You have Manny Diaz, he's the head coach. He's in charge of everyone. And Ed Reed's job is like, you know, putting nails in the house. He's not trying to take over. He's just trying to help build. And what really hyped me up, what he said, man, was if you don't want to be at the University of Miami, like, hit the transfer portal. You can go. Like, we promise we will coach up the guys we have now. And that made me feel so good, man. I'm not going to lie.
That's awesome. I know Jordan and I were talking about the interview. We haven't listened to it yet, but it's – did you say anything else that kind of stuck out?
So I didn't finish it. I was about 30 – it's about 30-something minutes, and I was like 15 minutes in. But I know he was saying it was a – I forget who it was, but a Saints player that hit him up to watch film, because a lot of people like to watch film with Ed Reed because he's like the best at breaking down film. And he told him, hey, I can't help you out this weekend because I got some stuff going on. But he didn't tell him that he took the job at the University of Miami. But, I mean, he still has players hitting him up now, but he's like – his main focus right now is the University of Miami football, and he wants to get us back to where we should be at, because he said we have like maybe two or three players right now getting drafted. And to him, that's unacceptable. We need to have, you know, a lot more players getting drafted each round, and that's what he's come to kind of help rebuild that culture.
Absolutely, so, man. Absolutely. I love to hear that.
Yeah, that's acceptable
to me too, man. I can't stand hearing that.
I know, man. It's because, I mean, I'm in, you know, a lot of – I troll a lot, right? I talk a lot of trash. And a lot of Gators, a lot of Noles, man. They find reasons to hate. They hate me. They hate the U. I love it, though. Every year coming back, man, it's just going to make it so much better, personally.
At least I hope so. It's the best part of Twitter, honestly, is trolling Gators and Noles, dude. There's nothing better. Nothing better. All right, so we wanted to ask you, Rob Likens, the new wide receiver coach. I mean, how you feeling? He's not a household name, but do you like that we went with an air raid guy as opposed to, you know, the familiar names like Lamar Thomas or Pop Cooney? Or how you feeling?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm going to be honest here. I was a big Lamar guy. Cooney as well. I loved KB when we had him.
Yeah.
And obviously, I was hoping we could try to put a Brian Hartline. Obviously, we couldn't. He's not going to leave Ohio State, right, because I'm a Dolphins guy as well. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, so I didn't know much about him, so I was looking him up. Arizona State did have almost a 1,200-yard receiver last year.
Yeah.
And our number one this year was, you know, KJ. I love KJ, but, I mean, I don't think he made 600 yards receiving, right? So it's like, man, yeah. He's doing what he thinks is best. And, I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt us anyway. And as far as recruiting goes, because a lot of people worry, like, oh, can he recruit South Florida? If you win, like, I know these kids. I have cousins that coach at Palmetto High School, and they got some guys with track in here. If you win, you will get these wide receivers. We have so many wide receivers in the state of Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
So recruiting is – a lot of people worried about it, but it doesn't bother me that much because I do believe we can recruit as long as we win.
That's a smart man talking. You know what? I like that because so many people are complaining, oh, he's a West Coast guy. He's not going to be able to recruit. If you win at the University of Miami, kids will come. Kids want to play for the hometown team and the hometown Canes. If you win, kids will come. I mean, the results will recruit for themselves. So I'm glad you said that. That's a subject I feel very passionately about.
And you can, like, even though we went 6-7 last year, like, our logo holds weight. No matter what anyone says, you can tell, like, the kicker we just got from FIU. A lot of his teammates were pissed off at him. They're like, why are you going to a school we just beat? At the end of the day, like, even if we're 6-7, our logo holds weight. The U still means something. Doesn't mean as much as it used to right now, but still, like, kids, they grew up loving the U. All you got to do is win, and we will get those kids.
I totally agree. And I feel like Manny's made some good moves with the support staff that he's added when it comes to recruiting. We got Telly Lockett, Ed Reed. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Benedict Hippolyte. Hippolyte, yeah. So, I mean, we've added these ace recruiters to our support staff. And the fact that Manny didn't go with Lamar Thomas or Pop Cooney or Kevin Beard or, you know, any of these names that we're super familiar with, that kind of makes me feel like he made the tough decision and that it wasn't the easy hire, you know, that he's really trying to think a few steps ahead rather than, you know, what will get the most Twitter likes. He's trying to think what's going to give the most wins, I guess.
I mean, we still have Cooney, like, on he's still with us.
Right? Yeah.
I do love the Hippolyte hire. Like, I know, you know, Uncle Luke. I'm actually the Uncle Luke guy. I like Uncle Luke, but sometimes, I mean, he be talking crazy, right? I mean, I feel like having Hippolyte, having Ed Reed, had all these guys, like, can kind of combat. Like, cause sometimes if Luke wants to send his kids, you know, to Florida State or University of Florida, because at the end of the day, he is looking out for his kids, right? He wants his kids to get a degree. He wants his kids to go play football. And I'm not going to hate on him for sending kids out of Miami, because some kids honestly need to leave Miami. Because, I mean, going out South Florida, you got some bad parts of South Florida, right? Yeah. Some of these kids need to honestly get out of that situation. I don't care if you're a five-star. If you are hanging around the wrong crowd, like, I don't want my kid to go leave Miami as well, right? So I don't hate on Uncle Luke for doing that. But having these guys on the team, it really helps recruiting. I love the Lockett hire. I love it so much, man. Florida State fans say they don't care about it, but I know they do.
Of course they do. They were mad when he was let go.
So, yeah, I think we're going to be all right, man. Then we open the schedule.
It's a pretty favorable schedule. It's a very favorable schedule, let me say that.
We should go 4-0, right? But then last year, we should have honestly only lost like one or two games. So I never know what we're going to get. But
yeah, it's but going back to these coaches, I mean, I don't think we think about the recruiting staff we have now. I mean, we still have Cooney, we have Hippolyte, we have Lockett. I mean, we have Ed Reed. I mean, we got some dogs for recruiting, and now all we got to do is just win. I mean,
exactly. You win, like, so my boy, the one that coaches at Palmetto, he told me, he was like, it's hard to sell 6 and 7 to these kids. Like, those are his exact words. He was like, a lot of these kids like Miami, but it's hard to sell 6 and 7. So now we got these guys recruiting them. We win, and I promise you, we'll be back. We'll be back to getting these kids, all the kids we want out of state of Florida. And South Georgia, or Georgia too.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, even with this record, we still pulled in a really good recruiting class this past year. People are freaking out so much, but if we win 9 or 10 games, I mean, kids will be flocking to Miami. I mean, I know how it works, man. And Zoe, I wanted to ask you this. I mean, because you live in California, correct?
Right.
What is the Miami Hurricanes connection with you? How did you grow up in Florida or what?
Yeah. So I was actually born in Fort Lauderdale, but then I moved to Miami when I was like 3 years old. So my whole family, we still live in Miami, North Miami, raised in Little Haiti. Grandma had a house there, 49th Street. I kind of grew up there, and then I moved to Georgia when I was about a teenager. Then I went back to Miami, Bay University. Okay. And then from there, I joined the military. So I've been all over. But every year I go back home, see the family in Miami. Got family in Carroll City, Liberty City, Hialeah. Like, we're all over Florida.
Okay. Well, let me start by saying thank you for your service, brother.
Hey, thank you for your support, man.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And something to close this out, we just wanted to ask you. So the last few weeks, Jordan and I have been doing a countdown. We did our top three rivals for the Canes, top three greatest Hurricanes. Today we're doing our worst losses as a fan. So we wanted to ask you, what are your 5 worst losses in your lifetime as a Miami Hurricanes fan?
If so, my lifetime. So got to start with the national championship versus Ohio State.
Yep.
Because I remember that game. I was at a barbershop, and this is, I don't know, I think I was about 12 years old or something like that. And they were talking, and it was like, man, there's no way them boys going to beat the Miami boys. I felt so proud hearing that, and I was like, yeah, our boys are going. And then watch the game, we dominate, and then it just goes downhill, and then that questionable pass interference call. So that was number one, probably. I like to lump in that streak we just had, the losing streak we had against Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. The lump is one. The Clemson game was a 58-0. I remember that one because I was in the military at this point, coming off work, and I watch every game. I set an alarm clock. I get off sometimes at like 7-8 in the morning, and I usually go right to sleep. But I set an alarm clock to wake me up. It woke me up, and the score was like 42-0, and I went back. I was so pissed. I went back to sleep. I woke up to 58-0. Let's see. I will say, so one, I wasn't born yet. It was actually the Miami versus Notre Dame 1988 game. I rewatched it on, the 30 for 30 is the U. I learned how to start the Catholics convicts, the fumble that didn't happen. I still hate that game. And I will say, I think that's four. So last one might have to be one of the most pathetic performances I've seen was the Louisiana Tech one. That made me so angry. And then last year, Pinstripe against Wisconsin, where they, not only did we get like just whooped,
we got
my wife's from Wisconsin, her entire family, they're all Badgers. You know, they went to University of Wisconsin and I was watching the game with them and we just got embarrassed. And then after that, our boys are just online, just, you know, just laughing, joking after getting their butts whooped. And then that's when Jaden Hazelwood made that video.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't recruit, come to Miami because after we got our butt whooped, they were just, you know, laughing about it, didn't care. So those are.
He's a little bit smart, man. I don't blame him. He shouldn't have come here.
Yeah, that was. I think we'll be all right this year. Derek King comes in. I think he's already got a different attitude about him. He's on social media a little bit, but not as much as, you know, other guys. He's like, he just gets in there, he's working, he's setting up his dorm room, he's in school, he's working on football. So I really like to see that. So I think we'll be.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this. You going to the – I know we've talked about it a little bit. Are you going to the Michigan State game?
Yeah, that's the plan, man. Michigan State and then probably Florida State at home.
Okay. Hey, those are the two that I'm looking at. And Jordan and I might see you at the Michigan State game, man.
Well, for sure I have to link up, man. That'd be dope.
Me and the wife, even though she's a Badger, I still converted to a Hurricane for the most part.
Good deal. Well, hey, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on, man. And thanks for the support on Twitter. And, you know, we'll have to have you on again, brother.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I love the podcast. I already subscribed and everything. Listen to it every time you guys put one up, man.
Hey, thank you. And have a safe trip to Tahoe, brother.
Hey, appreciate it.
Yeah, see you. Travel safe, bro.
All right, guys.
Oh, man, dude. I know we say this every week, but how cool is Canes fam, dude? I freaking love it.
I was just about to say the same thing. Zoe's a cool guy. I like that.
He is. That's the first time I've ever talked to him. He's a cool dude.
Yeah. Yeah. We Mike and Zoe, that was a good duo, man.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, at least for me, I know you've talked to a few of these guys before, but all the guests we've had on, it's usually when they're on the podcast, it's the first time I've ever talked to them. You know, a few times I'll exchange DMs, but, and it's amazing, like, I mean, just how cool everyone is. You know, we haven't missed on a guest yet. Everyone we've had on has been fantastic.
And I'm not tooting our own horn or anything, but I really like having guys like, you know, just regular fans on the show. It kind of reminds me of the days like in sports radio when they would have fans on the show, and just real cool vibes and everything. And you know, the second show this week, we'll have some other cool guys on as well. And we definitely want to get more former players on as well, because I've gotten so much feedback from the Brad Kai interview. That was so cool.
Oh, yeah. We need to try to get Brad on again. Brad's so dope.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. But let's get into these top five losses, bro. What do you say?
All right. Yeah. Let's should we alternate? So you go one, then I'll go one.
Let's do it. I know that you and I had at least one game in particular in common. So should we start with that one?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. So the one and for me, this is in no order just because they've all just been awful. So the one that Jordan and I know for a fact that we have in common is 2016 FSU.
Yeah. That was a horrible, horrible game, man.
That was I remember because I was living in Tallahassee at the time, and I was so confident going into that game. We had lost to them 6 straight years, and I'm like, this is the year. Like, the streak is over. We have them at home. They came into the game, I think, 3-2. I know that we were ranked 10th, and they were ranked 23rd. And I think it was the week before or 2 weeks before we had gone up to App State and just kicked the crap out of them. Brad threw for like a million yards. And then the week after that, we beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta, which is something that surprised me because we never do that. And I was so confident going into this game, dude. I there was no way we could lose. And then we lost.
Yeah, I mean, it killed me just because there was, I mean, it felt like a changing of the tide, you know, because we had struggled for so long. This 2016 was, you know, we had Mark Richt, we had Brad Kaya. I mean, it just felt like we were finally going to bust that Florida State winning streak. You know, we had a ton of momentum. We were ranked like, what, 10th during the game?
They were 23rd.
Yeah. And yeah, but I mean, we just had all this momentum. We have, you know, one of the best coaches of our generation. You know, just so much hype around that team. And gosh, to have it end on a blocked extra point, man.
And the thing is, I mean, we injured DeAndre Francois that game. They had to bring in McGuire.
Yeah. Yeah, I was celebrating. I mean, I was celebrating the game as if it was tied, you know, going to overtime. I was hyped, and then
how did we lose?
And then the kick gets blocked, and you're just standing there like, what? Ugh. You know, like, wait a minute, what? You got to replay it, make sure that, you know, it's not some sick practical joke that people are playing on you. Oh my gosh, I just.
Dalvin Cook.
At that point, I just turned off the TV and went to my room. I'm not sure I came out the next day, but I had no words. I was so just like
seething. Those were one of the games that like I physically like it physically affected me. I hurt that game. It's awful. Okay, what's number two for you?
All right. So this one is, I have to say, like usually when Miami gets the doors blown off them or it's you know, like just a really tough loss. Usually I'm more sad than angry.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the games that caused me to be the most angry was 2011 Virginia Tech.
Yeah, 38-35.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that was the game. I mean, Lamar Miller went off. I think he had like 166 yards or something like that. Ja'Cory Harris has an amazing game. I mean, we were down 31-21. We come back, you know, and get up. And then 19 seconds left or like 10 seconds left or something. It was a minute left. Logan Thomas runs a 19-yard touchdown run right up the middle, completely untouched. And just that whole last drive, I knew what was going to happen. You know, like as they're marching down the field, Logan Thomas can't be stopped. And I'm just like, I know we've lost this game. I know we're, you know, it just like.
That's what being a Canes fan has done to us. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been in that situation. Like, I know what's going to happen. Like, I'm just waiting.
Yeah, I mean, with 2 minutes left and you have a 4-point lead and they have to drive the entire field, you should feel confident. But, like, I can just see this unraveling, you know. And the fact that we couldn't stop it from unraveling just made me so infuriated. I mean, that was one of the only times in my like Canes fandom that I was throwing stuff by the end of the game. I was furious, man. I was so furious. Like, if you
score 35 points in Blacksburg, you're gonna win most of those games.
Yeah. And I mean, your two best players went off. You know, Lamar Miller was unstoppable that game. And yeah. Corey Harris was pretty much unstoppable that game. I mean, we didn't turn the ball over. We had 500 yards. We outgained Virginia Tech. Like, I don't know what went wrong. And right?
This is awful. Next week, we've got to do our top five wins.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Depressing subject. Okay, my number two is 2005 against Florida State. I don't know if you were you a Canes fan by then? Do you remember that game?
I mean, the like 2003, 2004, 2005 years, I was kind of paying attention. It really wasn't until like 2006, 2007. I think it was when Randy Shannon got hired is really when I started to dig in.
Okay. Well, let me – so 2005, it's opening day. I think it was Labor Day. I mean, back in the day, we used to play FSU week one. I miss those days. But we had beaten Florida State 6 straight games. And being a fan, I didn't know what losing to FSU was like because I had never experienced it. And we're up in Tallahassee. I remember it was Kyle Wright's first start, and we had Sonoris Moss on the team. We had Greg Olson on the team. You know, we had some dogs on the team, and I think we were ranked fifth. They were sixth, and we're down 10-0 to start the game, and we come back, and it's 10-7. We're driving. We're a late-game drive. Kyle Wright drives us down the field, hits Greg Olson a few times, and then we line up to kick a game-tying field goal, and Brian Monroe, I think it was, he dropped the snap for the field goal, and we lose 10-7. And I remember, I think I was like 10 or 11, and just looking at the screen and looking back at my dad, like, for an explanation. I was like, well, what, Dad, what's happening? What? I was so, and I just went into my room bawling. Like, just, I was uncontrollably crying. We lost to Drew Weatherford, the quarterback for the Florida State Seminoles, and that was, it was so bad. It was awful. And I have another FSU game on here for my number three, but here, you go.
All right. So, I mean, I've already talked about this one on the pod, so I'm going to get it out of the way. 2005 Peach Bowl versus LSU. I mean, if anyone missed it, I said that was one of my first Canes memories. Not my absolute first, but, you know, I was, let's see, I would have been 11 years old. I convinced my parents to take me up to my favorite pizza place. That was my favorite food. I mean, we're just watching, and my dad loves to give me a hard time, and he's not a Canes fan. So the whole time I'm just watching LSU just beat down Miami. My dad's giving me a hard time.
43.
Yeah, and I'm stuffing my face full of this pizza trying to, like, make up for this hurt, you know, and my dad's making it worse. And then, they drive me home after the game. And, man, I'm just sitting in the very back row of their SUV. So, like, there's an empty row of seats between us. And, oh, man, I am just fighting back tears as hard as I can. Like, that was one of the first times that I really, really tasted heartbreak in my life. And it was tough, man. It was tough to deal with.
It was such a blowout. I mean, I remember we kicked a field goal to go up 3-0, and then all hell broke loose.
Yep.
It was so bad. I remember I was watching that with my dad and my uncle for that game. It was disgusting. We drove out to Cooper City in Florida and watched it at his house, and we were so, like, we could finish the season 11-2. I mean, a little backtrack. I mean, we should have been playing for the ACC title that year, but we lost to Georgia Tech late in the season. I'll go into that later. But okay, my number three is the following year in 2006 against Florida State. 2005-2006 is the years that I really became the fanatical, disgusting Hurricanes fan that you know now. I lived and breathed Canes football. We had season tickets, FSU. I remember it was the opening game. It was Labor Day. And me and my dad had flown on a red eye from Utah the night before. We had like four layovers. It was awful. And then we finally made it back. We got to the Orange Bowl tailgating. I was so excited because we came into the season ranked eighth or ninth. We had Kyle Wright returning as a quarterback. We had Calais Campbell. We had all these guys. We had Brandon Merriweather. We were supposed to be really good. And what better way to kick off a season than to beat Florida State at home? And the game starts, and I remember it was raining, and we were so hyped up, and I don't know what happened. We were up 10-6. I remember, like, going into halftime or something like that. Brandon Merriweather had an interception, and we lost 13-10. And then that snowballed into the worst season ever. We finished 7-6. We started the year 1-2, and we lost to Florida State at home to begin the year. I'll never forget. We had a FSU people sitting right behind us, and I was, I think that was the last game I cried as a result of. I was in fifth grade, and I was just beside myself. It was losing to Florida State, man, is, I take it very personally.
There's nothing worse.
It's really nothing worse, man. And losing at home, that was the last time FSU ever came to the Orange Bowl. And that was, that's when I started to realize, like, okay, this is what being a fan is about. Just heartbreaking loss. So Gosh, this is like making me depressed.
I know. Same, man. Same. All right. So, okay. So my next one, I'm going to go with 2013 Virginia Tech again. I told you that there was a surprise team on here that had two, and it's Va Tech. And this is probably why I actually hate Va Tech, probably more than most of Canes, you know, Canes fan, because, I mean, like I said, some of my biggest, most heartbreaking losses have been at their hands. And, man, I honestly, I hate them just as bad as Florida. Easy.
I hate Virginia Tech.
Yeah, man, I freaking hate them so bad. Okay, so the 2013 game, that was the year that we were playing really well. We were ranked, and then we get to Florida State, and Duke Johnson breaks his ankle. We end up getting blown out 41-14. And then this was the following game. We introduced those smoke jerseys and, you know, trying to keep one of our best seasons under Al Golden on the rails, you know, man, it just sucked. It was rainy. Couldn't get anything going. It just, oh man, it hurt. I've kind of blocked most of that game out of my memory, but I just remember being crushed. I was on vacation watching it, and it just ruined the entire day.
Yeah.
I was so hyped that we introduced new jerseys. I mean, you know, and then
see, you're different than me. I hated new jerseys. Yeah. Hate them.
Oh, I always loved them, man. Just because it was something different, and you know, like, and what better way to introduce like an alternate jersey than to have it be the smoke jerseys, you know, like.
Was it the smoke jerseys? Because I thought smoke jerseys we had against Florida State the next year.
No, that was the ones with the orange helmet when we totally revamped all the Nike stuff.
Ew.
2013 was when we actually wore our white pants and then had a slightly altered white helmet. With just like charcoal colored jerseys.
Yeah.
It was last year that we wore those ugly orange uniforms under Al Golden for the first part.
You know, and this is a conversation for another time, but the only alternate jerseys I've ever liked was the our blackout jerseys that we introduced against Va Tech a few years ago. That's it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know this isn't a very popular opinion, but that 2014 year, Brad Kaya's freshman year, I actually loved all of those uniform combinations.
Oh, you're drunk.
Dude, I still love them. I think those are some of our best uniforms that we've ever had. I know that everyone's going to hate on me for that, but all of the combinations, I love the white jerseys. I love the green helmets. I love the orange jerseys. I love the black jerseys. I loved all of it.
I don't even know who you are anymore. but okay. So my number four loss, I'm doing a combination of this past year, the Va Tech game, Georgia Tech game, FIU, and Louisiana Tech game. They all hurt in the same way. Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech were very tough. Virginia Tech, because I was there, and they jumped out to a 28-0 lead, and we were supposed to blow them out. And then the Georgia Tech game, I thought that was one of the lowest points of the program because Georgia Tech sucked. They were awful, and we were at home. Losing at home used to never happen as a Miami Hurricane, and now it's acceptable to lose twice at home in one season. But that was a bad year because they had the fake punt, and Brevin Jordan did get the first down, and they marked him short. Then the FIU game, obviously, that was just disgusting. And then the Louisiana Tech game, everyone remembers my Twitter freak out, the video that I posted. But all four of those just – accumulated to just the worst football season of my entire life, and I'm counting that as one game. And so yeah,
we'll just call it the 2019 season because that was a giant L that the whole program took.
I remember after the Georgia Tech game especially, just like it could not get any worse than that. The Georgia Tech game was rough, dude. That was a bad one.
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, fifth and final loss, what do you got?
Okay, so I want to give honorable mention to the 2002 Ohio State National Championship. I had a feeling that everyone would pick that one, which so far everybody has, besides you, but I don't know if that's what you got next. So honorable mention to that game. I didn't put it in my top five just so we could have some diversity. I'm going with 2007 Virginia, the last game in the Orange Bowl.
Oh, how did I forget that? Oh my gosh.
Dude.
Oh.
Do you remember that, like, a few days before we had the alumni game and we had all of the greats, Dolphins and Canes?
I was there.
Or wait, no, I don't know if it was the Dolphins or not, but we had all the great Canes just like do a two-hand touch scrimmage on the field. And I'm hyped because I'm reading about this. I mean, this was back before, I mean, social media was a huge thing before I could stream games. So like out in Utah, I usually had to listen to the radio on the internet to get my Canes fix. Or so I would either follow play by play or listen to the radio if it wasn't on TV. And so like the Canes greats that I never got to see play, I never got to see Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Warren Sapp. I never got to see these dudes play. So they're like mythical people in my head, right? And the fact that we have all of these greats, I can't remember exactly who was there. All these greats come back to honor the Orange Bowl. And then we go out against a trash Virginia team because Virginia is a trash program. No disrespect, Bronco Mendenhall. I'm a fan.
They were ranked at the time. Let me say that. They were ranked.
They're a trash program, Marsh.
Yes, they are.
But for them to just blank us and just, oh my gosh, like not just blow us out and shut us out, just a complete embarrassment. I mean, every player that was on that team should be so ashamed of themselves, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm going to do a 5A and a 5B worst loss because I want to talk about that game because I was there. It was the last year we had our season tickets because we moved to Utah the year after. And I will say this, that alumni game, that I think that was in January, so that was a month or two after that. And I was there, and Dan Marino was there. I think Jim Kelly was there. So many great Canes and Dolphins. And I met Joe Zagacki. He was really awesome. I didn't know the history of the program as well. I didn't really realize what a tremendous honor it was to be on the field at the Orange Bowl. But that Virginia game, holy crap, dude. And my dad, who has been started going to Canes games in the late 80s, he was at all the wide right games, wide left games against FSU. He, saw all the games when they were national champions in the early 90s. And he said that game before Virginia, that was the most hyped up crowd he had ever witnessed at a Canes game. Dude, they were nutty. But we didn't even like – the place wasn't even completely filled, but that was one of the craziest crowds I've ever seen at a Canes game. I remember the tailgate. It was like an emotional experience. I remember just touching the walls of the Orange Bowl but as I was walking out. We left at halftime because it was 31-0 at halftime, and The Rock introduced the team, and it was just a huge, huge thing. And we go out, and we lost 48-0. Yeah. And it didn't even seem real because it was it still doesn't even seem real that you closed the doors to the Orange Bowl in that kind of disgusting, embarrassing fashion. I'm still not over it. But and then obviously I the Ohio State game in the 2003-2002 Fiesta Bowl. My first Canes game attending was in 2002, but the first real game that I remember like distinctly was that Fiesta Bowl. I remember it was in Arizona, so I had to stay up late, and my dad and I watched the game, and I remember he carried me to my room. I was like 6 or 7 years old at the time because I was crying, and I'm like, I still have to say to my dad, like, you know, what did you do? Like, why did you do this to me? I mean, because that game really introduced me to being a Canes fan. I've watched every single game since, but we still have not recovered from that game, obviously. And we can talk about this next episode, but I wanted to introduce this thought because earlier today I was watching a documentary on the 2004 Boston Red Sox, and it was talking, and obviously that's the year that they broke the curse of the Bambino, won a World Series for the first time in 86 years, and it was going back and talking about that and everything. And I wanted to ask you, we don't have to answer it right now, but do you think that Fiesta Bowl cursed the Canes? Are we cursed? Is that an idiotic thing to say?
No, it's not idiotic at all. And I think we should save that because we could go on for.
I want to talk about that next episode. Yeah.
No, that so preview of next week's episode.
Are we cursed?
Yes. And yeah.
Oh.
That's what we're gonna do. And we're gonna find some guests to come on. And we're gonna talk about if this program is cursed.
It was a great episode, though. Thank you again to Mike and West Coast Zoe for coming on. They were great. And, Jordan, it was another good episode in the books.
It was. It was a good episode. I'm kind of depressed now after talking about those games. And
Yeah, that was
rough. Oh, thank you for correcting me on that alumni game. I do appreciate that. I just, you know, I was.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I didn't even mean it as a correction. I was just like, because I was there. I just remember it. I still have the newspaper clippings.
For sure. I mean, I want to. I don't want to spread false info on the pod. So.
No, you're good.
All right. All right.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
We said that at the same time. Thank you, everyone. Retweet, like, subscribe, rate us, comment.
Friends, tell your mama.
Yep. And you know, everyone, do me a favor this week and tweet some appreciation towards Marsh. I've gained a new respect for what he does on a daily basis in terms of, you know, chopping it up with Canes fam, talking Canes football. Twitter is a tough beast, everyone. So everyone tweet at Marsh this week. Send him your appreciation for, you know, all he does and always keeping us company and, you know, keeping the conversation going. So have a good week, everyone.
All right. See you guys.
See you, Marsh.
Forza Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast grow. Follow me on Twitter at Hurricane